Let me thank you, Minister, for his very kind and warm words of welcome. It certainly is a privilege to be with you today and to share with you. And I trust indeed that we will know the blessing of the Lord as we read around his word. Let me say to the young people how much you've enjoyed listening to your programme. I know that a lot of time and effort has been put in, and I have really enjoyed that. Just take a wee moment to get set up, very nearly set up. And let me thank you for praying for my health. And this year has been a very good year health-wise. Last year I was in hospital, I think, 3 or 4 times, and had to actually take 3 months out when I was sick. But the Lord has certainly given grace and given help, and I want to acknowledge that. I have to get this exactly right. Okay. All right. I brought some things along to help me today with the story, boys and girls, and with today's message. And I'm going to be bringing them out in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we're just going to bow together in a word of prayer. We're going to ask the Lord to come and to speak to our hearts. You know the ABC of prayer, don't you? A, arms folded. B, we bow our heads. And then C, we close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the boys and girls and for their participation in the service. We covet everyone for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what they have been singing about. There is nothing that is more dear and sweet to us than thy precious word. Lord, as we read around thy word now, we pray that thou wilt open up the Bible to us. Lord, we are conscious that this is the only means that God now uses to speak to man, the written word of the living God. Lord, speak to every heart. Lord, speak to my heart afresh. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, boys and girls, I brought some things along with me, and we're going to have the presentation as well, but I have something here. Can any of you guess what this here might be? No, it's not a Bible. Anyone else? What do you think it might be? What do you think might be in here? No, it's not a camera. Getting a little bit clearer, what do you think? No, it's not a book. Let me see, here we go. It's... Oh. A set of binoculars, that's right, it's a set of binoculars. And boys and girls, we use these here. And whenever you use them for seeing things, bringing them closer to us. And of course you turn the button around here and you look through, and it helps you to see things more clearly. The binoculars, right. I've also got something else here, and it's... What do you think this here might be? Who could tell? A camera? It's not... Telescope? Well, it's a sort of telescope. What do you think it might be used for? This here would go on the table. You would look down here, you would look in, and you see things. You focus here, you see things that are far away. It's for looking of birds in particular. For bird watching and for bird spotting. And that's here what this here scope is actually used for. You know, when I was thinking that, I couldn't help but think that there are lots and lots of different birds that are mentioned and that are in the Bible. And in fact, there's a lot of birds when we think about birds. There are finches, crows, seagulls, magpies, pheasants. The list just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Well, just as the list goes on, there are over 30,000 different varieties and types of birds. So, bird watching, boys and girls and young people, has become a very popular pastime. And so what I thought today is that we would do some, in a sense, bird watching or bird looking. Just get this here. Come up. There we go. Birds in the Bible. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to look this morning at some of the birds in the Bible. You see, there are many lessons that we can learn. There are many spiritual lessons. For instance, Job chapter 12 and verse 7 says, "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee." In other words, whenever we look at the animals in the Bible and in nature, and we look at the birds, you know something? There are great lessons that we can learn. And there is wisdom at looking at those things. All right.
In the book of Job, and the chapter 20, or should I say the chapter 39, we read about a very unwise bird. It's called the ostrich. I want to read to you some verses about the ostrich. Job chapter 39, verse 11, it says, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and wormeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them?" And then it says in verse 17, "Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding." You see, the ostrich, although it's the perhaps one of the tallest of all the birds, it's some 8 feet in height, it is a very foolish bird. Why is that? Because when the ostrich has her eggs, she just leaves them in the ground. Of course, she can trample them, any other bird can trample them, they can be easily destroyed. And so the ostrich is a very unwise bird. Boys and girls, men and women today, we don't want to look so much at those birds where they're unwise. We want to learn today. We want to be wise. And so we're going to look at a number of birds that we might receive instruction. Now, who's able to tell me what sort of bird that is? Who can tell me? Peacock. Oh. This is why I brought some sweets, isn't it? I want to head up to the front and get a packet of sweets. I'm going to be asking about some of these birds. Oh. Who's had the new sour pastels? They're lovely. There you go. Alright, thank you very much. The peacock. This is one of the birds. It says in Job 39, "Givest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks." I'm sure that most people here present will have heard the saying, "as proud as a peacock." You see the peacock, that bird, beautiful bird, she stretches out her wings and her feathers and she displays them in the most beautiful and the most magnificent way. She is glorious, beautiful to look at. But you know what? It's just as if the peacock is saying, "Look at my beauty. Look at me." I mean, you think of the peacock, you know what word comes to mind? Pride. Because the peacock, in a sense, is a very proud bird. Well, you know, there are men and women, sad to say, who are filled with pride. They boast in themselves what they have done, who they are. And we read about men and women in the Bible who were filled with pride. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, we read about boys and girls. We read about two men going up into the temple to pray. And one of them was a Pharisee. He was a very religious man. He was a very proud man. The other was a publican, a poor tax collector. And as they went up, we're told that the Pharisee went in and he was filled with pride. He used to like people to look at him and to watch him. And all that he did, he wanted praise, the Pharisee. And the Bible tells us that when he went in, he says, "You know, I thank God that I'm not as other men are." And there are men and women like that who would say, "You know, I haven't done this sin, I haven't done the other sin. I'm not such a bad person." But the Bible tells us that the poor old publican, the tax collector, he went in and he realized, "Oh, I'm just a poor sinner." And he couldn't even lift up his eyes heavenward because he realized his sin. You see, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need to recognize that. We need to realize that. There is a starting place. And not to be filled with pride. Now, who would like to guess the next bird? Who could tell me what it is? Have a guess. No. It begins with a letter P. No. Oh, we might get somebody for this one. This is actually quite a hard one. It is a partridge. A partridge. Okay. And I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel and the chapter 26. Because here in this chapter, David was fleeing from Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26, And the verse 20, David said, "Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains." You see, David was fleeing from Saul. And David lived in the caves and in the mountains, and he was hunted, just like the partridge is hunted. And David recognized that. David recognized his need to hide. And so it is that the partridge, it hides from the hunter. It's a game bird. It's a hunted bird, in other words. It hides itself in the long grass and it takes cover. And as I was thinking about the partridge, I couldn't help but think of the word peril, danger. Because the partridge is in danger because it is a hunted bird. There are those who would want to take its life. So it is when we think of our sin and our pride. Our sin separates us from God, but we need to recognize that we're in great danger because sin must be punished and God hates sin. And if you're not saved and you're not a Christian, the Bible says boys and girls are just like a partridge. You're in peril. There's real danger. The devil, you see, is the enemy of your soul. The devil doesn't want you to become a Christian. He doesn't want you to be in heaven or be saved. He wants you to be lost and end up in hell. And so you are in danger, and you need to recognize that danger. You know, as I thought about danger, how even the partridge can be taken in the snare by the hunter. The Bible tells us in Psalm 124 about how our soul is escaped out of the snare, that it's the Lord who gives us deliverance. And it's only the Lord who is able to deliver us from the peril and the dangers of sin. Now, somebody mentioned this one. A pigeon. Okay. Go on ahead. You take something of that pile there. The pigeon. That was quite an easy one. Now, in the Old Testament, God taught his people about sin. And how serious sin is. You see, God is holy and God hates sin. And God taught his people a way whereby he was able to forgive their sin and yet still remain holy, and that man could be forgiven. And so he told his people that they were to bring a lamb. Not just any lamb, it was to be the best lamb, a pure lamb. They were to bring it to a special place called the altar. And there the man was to take his hand. He was to place it in the head of the lamb. And God said, when you've done that, it's just now that I'm viewing that the man's sin is being transferred to the lamb. You all know what it is to be transferred. You hear about footballers, for instance, who are transferred. And they go from one team to another. They go from one place to another place. And it's a legal thing. Well, boys and girls, God said, when you've done this, the man's sin was transferred to the lamb. What happened to the lamb? It had to die. Because sin brings death. And in the book of Leviticus, and the chapter 5, the Lord speaks to us about the pigeon. I want to read just some, verses here. Leviticus and the chapter 5. And it says here in the verse 7, "And if he shall not be able to bring a lamb," in other words, if a man's poor, he can't afford it, he hasn't got one, "then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves, or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering." As we think about the pigeon, you know, we think about the penalty of sin. God says if a man couldn't afford a lamb, he would bring a pigeon as an offering. as a sacrifice. And what would happen to the pigeon? It had to die. Because sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. And it reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross as a great sin bearer, as a substitute. The Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who never did any wrong, who lived a perfect life, who kept the law of God perfectly. The Bible tells us that as our sins were laid upon Jesus, upon God's dear Son, that the wrath of God was poured out upon him, and he died in the sinner's guilty room and place. Who can tell me what this next bird is? Any of the wee ones at the front here? What sort of bird would go white? Very good. One of them. The dove. That's right, it is a dove. The dove is a gentle bird. The Bible tells us that we're to be as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. The dove speaks to us about tenderness, about meekness, about gentleness. In fact, as the Lord Jesus Christ was being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 3 and the verse 16 that when he was baptized, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And so it is that the dove reminds us about peace. You see, man as a sinner, and we as sinners are separated from a holy God because of sin. In fact, the Bible says we are at war with God. We are enemies against God because of our sin. Our sin has separated us from God. And there's only one way whereby we can be, the Bible says, reconciled, brought together, where we can be at peace with God, and that is through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Prince of Peace. And so the dove speaks to us of peace. We can have peace with God, and we can know and enjoy the peace of God. Here we read, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Now, the next one is, well done, come on up a hen. It's a hen, that's right. It's the mother hen. Reminds me of the story I heard one time about a mother hen who had 10 little chicks, and there was a great fire that came sweeping through that area. And I heard about this story of how the mother hen, she got her little chicks under her wings, and as the fire came, you know what happened? The mother hen gave her life for the chicks. And the chicks were there underneath her wing, and the farmer, as he went through his ground, you know, everything was destroyed. The ground was burnt. The trees had all gone. There was just barrenness. Death had come. But there, underneath the body of the mother hen, came out the little chicks alive. You see, the mother hen, she paid the price. She endured the flames that they might live. And so, the mother hen, it reminds us about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for sinners. And his plea, his invitation for men and women and for boys and girls to come and to trust in him. In Matthew chapter 23 and the verse 37, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not, and the Lord Jesus Christ stood and he wept over Jerusalem, and he said, if only you would come, I would give you life. And there is the plea of the Lord Jesus, there is the invitation of the gospel. Let me say, that invitation is given to everybody today. It is extended to everyone here. That if you realize that you and your pride and your sin, that you're separated from God, that you're facing eternal ruin, that today you can come and have your sins forgiven. The invitation is given to each one to come and to trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can tell me what these birds are? Any of these little ones? No?
What sort of bird might you find in your garden? Any of the wee ones though? Sparrows, one of them. The sparrows, that's right. Isn't it amazing that the Bible speaks to us about the sparrows? In fact, the Lord says, with regards to the sparrow, that He protects the sparrows, that He looks after them. Oh, there are many in number. And they face all sorts of dangers. They're just a small, insignificant bird. But God says, you know what? I look after them and I protect them. In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord speaks to us about the sparrow, and He speaks to us that we are of more value, more worth than many sparrows. And isn't it wonderful that when we're seeing, when we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're seated, we're secure, that we're protected. And the sparrow reminds us about that protection. Now, I'm going to move on quickly. Who can tell me what this bird might? This is a really, really hard one. No. This bird is a quail. A quail, that's right. You see, for 40 years, after the children of Israel had left Egypt and left bondage, they entered into the wilderness. And for 40 years they wandered into the wilderness. You know what? God met them at the point of their need. God protected them. He preserved His people. But the Lord also blessed them. And He met all their needs. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Lord gave them the water from the rock. It also tells us that each morning as they went out, that God fed His people with the bread, with the manna. And then each evening, they went out and there was quail lying. And God fed His people with meat. And as we think about the quail, it reminds us of God's provision. That God meets our need. When we trust in Him, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about because God meets us at the point of our need. Now, the last bird that we're going to look at, who would like to guess what this bird is? This is quite an easy one. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, thank you very much. It is the eagle. That's right, the eagle. And the Bible tells us many things about the eagle. In fact, the Christian is likened to the eagle. And there are many people here today, and you're saved by the grace of God. And God says, we are just to be like the eagle. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And so we are likened to the eagle. You see, when you think of the eagle, you think of power. The peacock speaks of pride, the partridge of danger, of peril, the pigeon of the penalty of sin, the dove of peace, the mother hen of the plea of Jesus Christ, the sparrows of protection, the quail of provision. But here the eagle speaks of power. And it speaks of how we can have power with God. It is by waiting upon the Lord. You see, it is a very, so powerful that if an eagle was here upon your hand, you'd need a steel glove. If he didn't, it could just crush every bone in your hand with just a slight movement. It's so strong that it's able to lift an animal 4 times its weight. That means it can lift even a young deer. Just swoop down and lift it up and pick it up and carry it away. Its wings are 7.5 feet wide. Why is it? It's such great wings because God made it that way. It's designed just to yield to the wind, to let the wind carry it. It doesn't really fly. It just learns to yield to the wind. The wind carries it up, and it lives up there in the heavenlies. It lives close to God, far above this world in sin. And God says, that's what we're to be like. We're to yield to the Spirit. We're to live up there, to soar in the heavenlies, live close to God. In fact, the eagle, from 2 miles away, is able to spot a rabbit. Imagine that, 2 miles away. And there it's able to focus on him, and up to 180 miles an hour just to descend. And to take the prey. It is a most powerful bird. But you know, it's got a very special set of eyes. It's got built-in lenses. Should I say built-in, like, sunglasses. The lenses that the eagle has are very special because it's a very special bird because even looking at the light here would makes your eyes go all funny, the lenses, doesn't like the light. But the eagle can look at the sun straight on and just go straight to the sun and it doesn't blind it.
There are even camera companies who have studied the lenses of the eagle, who have tried to manufacture glasses to imitate it, to be like it. And so it is that when danger comes, it's just head for the sun. Of course, that reminds us that we are to trust in the Lord. It lives there upon the rock. It never leaves that rock. Of course, we're not to leave Christ. We're not to forsake our first love. But as I close today, I want to think, in closing, of the story of the sower who went forth to sow the seed. The Lord Jesus told a parable. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the thorns came, the birds came, and devoured them. And there were the different types of ground, but one of those types of ground was the wayside. And the seeds fell upon the wayside, and the thorns came, the birds came, they snatched up the seed. The Bible tells us that the ground is really the heart of man. You see, there are those who are careless. What they hear is, there's someone here today and you're careless. You go out the door and, you know, the word of God really hasn't had an effect on you. And right away, the devil steals away the seed. Then there were those whose hearts are like the stony ground. They're hard. Speaks of the casual here. Then the thorny ground. And of course, the thorny ground, the seed began to grow up, began to develop. But the Bible says it had no root, and the love of the world choked out the seed. And there was that good ground. Speaks of the careful here. I wonder today, as we leave the meeting, will the seed be taken away and stolen from your heart? Just as the fowls of the air came, stole away the seed from the wayside, by faith are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you like the eagle, walking with God, living close to God? You're living up there in the heavens. May God bless his word to all of our hearts today, for Jesus' sake.